So the Alter Rebbe says, now we'll understand what the Alter Rebbe is saying. When Shabbos comes, you know what you have to say. L'chadoidi likras kala. Doidi, come down. Come down to greet the kala, because if not, the kala is going up. V'zeu shayimrim l'chadoidi on Shabbos, you have to say, chasen doidi, beloved one, come meet the bride halfway. The bride is marching towards you. She wants to nullify herself in you. Come meet her halfway. We want that the groom should come down. Lecha, come down. Because shuvla echad. Because the ultimate purpose was to reveal the unity within a fragmented, limited, dark, veiled, and flawed world. So the answer in the yearning, the Torah mitzvahs in the yearning, can't be experienced in the yearning itself. But the yearning produces an aftermath, which is shuv le'echad. And the shuv produces, of course, Torah mitzvahs. Because that's the method that that's the only method through which you can reveal that unity. And that's therefore the only thing that can justify the return. If not, what am I returning to? Yes?
This is the Baal Shem Tov is giving us an etzah, this to the people who are on that madrega. This is what
That's a good question. It happened to Moshe Rabbeinu also. You're asking, what about Reb Michal's Lotshever who expired during Shalosh Shudas? It happened to Moshe Rabbeinu Taka, and Reb Michal's Lotshever, there was the Ratz Lipcha, and there was no Shuv L'Echad. The love burnt itself up. I'll tell you even more. Reb Avraham HaMalach didn't pass away from Klois HaNefesh. He almost did. He almost did. Alter Rebbe got them to change the tefillin, I told you. No, Reb Avraham HaMalach didn't need Shalosh Shudas. He needed a Shachris. Yeah, that's why by tzaddikim, you're right. This is a sefer shel beinim, and even they have this problem. Imagine tzaddikim, it's even much greater. One of the Alter Rebbe's closest friends, who is much older than him, was the Holy of Holies, Reb Aaron Karliner, known as Reb Aaron HaGadol. Reb Aaron HaGadol, we know, was a fireball of godliness. I have no other word to describe him. I told you once that Alter Rebbe once described the nature of Yir Shamayim. Alter Rebbe said, you want to understand the Yir Shamayim of Reb Aaron Karliner? He says like this. If somebody is imprisoned and they take him to the shooting squad and they put him in the place where they put the people who will be shot and they tie him up, to the fence and he's standing there and the man with the rifle is standing against him and he pulls the trigger, he says, you know the fear that the person experiences that moment? He says, that experience of Aaron Karlin had every moment of his life. And then the Alter Rebbe said, and this was Reb Aaron's Yerushamayim when he was on a lower level. Meichin de Katnus. Reb Aaron's Yerushamayim when he had Meichin de Gadlus, when he was on his higher levels, he says, you won't even understand. I'm not even going to attempt to give you to do a metaphor. So when I said before this was his experience, always, no. This was his experience when he was on a low. When he was on a high, so you realize Reb Aaron Karliner is on another level. Reb Aaron Karliner passed away at the age of 36. He was a Talmud of the Maggid. It was Chol HaMoed Pesach. Which year? I think Tavkuf Lamed Beis, which means a year before the Maggid. Tavkuf Lamed Beis would be 1772. And he came before Pesach to say goodbye to the Maggid, and the Maggid bid him farewell. And then the Maggid, they say, called him the Alter Rebbe and another few students, and he said, don't let him leave. So they went to the Baron, and they tried to convince him to stay. So he said, what do you mean? The Rebbe bid me farewell. I'll ask again. He goes back in and the Maggid bids him farewell again. But then he calls them in and says, try to convince him and persuade him not to leave. And again he said, but the Rebbe said goodbye to me. That means the Rebbe acknowledged my departure and agreed to it. I'll go in again. And it happened a third time. And he didn't want to go in a fourth time because the Maggid told him again. And he left. He passed away Chol HaMoed Pesach. That Chol HaMoed Pesach. He fell ill suddenly, and I believe he was in bed for 3 days, and he passed away. So his student and his successor, Reb Shlaimer Kalina, said that the angels in heaven envied his service of Hashem, and they took his soul. But by Chassidim, they said, one of the great masters said, that Reb Aaron got burnt up from his own Yerushamayim. Basically what Alter Rebbe is describing here. It wasn't just a physical illness, it was an expression of this illness. So everybody knows that Reb Pinchas Karitzer rebuked Reb Aaron after he passed away. And he said, "Heh, a kunz verbrennt werden in sein Yerushamayim. Ubacharta b'chayim is a mitzvah. You have to choose life, not get burnt up in Yerushamayim." And he said, "I hold Reb Aaron guilty for not living a long life." He blamed Reb Aaron. He said, "I hold him guilty for not living a long life." I mean, parenthetically, Reb Shlaimer Kalinner also. Reb Shlaimer Kalinner, his successor, was in the middle of davening. This was Tavkuf Nun Beis, 1792. You know the story. He was in shul. He was davening. And a kaza came. And there's a few versions to the story. One of the versions is that he shot him in the middle of davening. And the bullet went in and he didn't feel anything. He's in the middle of davening and he didn't feel it. And he came to Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. His brain burst then and he passed away at that moment. That obviously wasn't a Ratz Lipcha. That was a bullet. But the Ratz Lipcha put him in the position where he was, his soul was totally at peace with it. But the Alter Rebbe says that the call of the Jew is Shuv L'Echad. Right. You're saying something. It's obviously not so simple to go from Ratz Lipcha Shuv L'Echad. We'll finish it. You'll see the Alter Rebbe. There's just something profound in what the Alter Rebbe says, and I think it will answer your question clear. I just want to tell you that the Rebbe once said, it was actually the first yahrzeit of his own wife, 1989. I heard from him. He explained this principle in Chassidus, which is fundamental to Chassidus, as it expresses itself in Halacha, in a very interesting way. There's a Halacha, the Gemara brings in Masichta Shabbos, Daf Kuvav, Babakam Alamadal, the Rambam says in Hilchah Shabbos, I think in Perek Yud Beis, Halacha is as follows. Hamavir, if you ignite a fire on Shabbos, you have performed a forbidden labor on Shabbos. And if you did it unwillingly, you have to bring an offering. Willingly, there's a possibility for capital punishment. I mean, if there was witnesses and there was warning, if you ignite a fire. But it's not just if you ignite a fire. If you ignite a fire because you want to burn a piece of wood, or you want to burn a pot, or you want to get rid of some papers you have, you're not obligated. You did not biblically violate Shabbos. In the words of the Rambam, Hamavir, if you ignite a fire, you're liable. You have to need the ashes. Because the halacha is that not every labor is forbidden on Shabbos. It has to be a purposeful labor. A labor that brings benefit. It's constructive. But if the labor is purely destructive, you are not liable biblically. Rabbinically, you're not allowed to do it, but biblically, you're not liable. So if I just light a fire, it's just destructive. If I light the fire to warm me or to give me light, there is benefit. Even if I don't need the light, but I need ashes, for whatever reason, I'm looking for ashes. That's how the Rambam starts. If you need the ashes, that's when it's a Shabbos labor. Another example is, the Rambam says, if you burn your friend's field because you're angry at him, and through that you get rid of your anger, so even though you're satisfying your evil inclination, but you're giving benefit to your evil inclination, and therefore you're liable. Because you're appeasing your anger. That's a separate thing. So what does this mean spiritually? We know that the 39 categories of labor that are forbidden on Shabbos are derived from the 39 categories of labor that the Jews used to do in the Mishkan and the Tabernacle. So Chassidus always explains that these labors, although they're forbidden on Shabbos, but they represent what is the work of a Jew during the 6 days of the week when he wants to make out of the world a tabernacle for Hashem. Zog da halach. Hamavir, if you want to know what is the avoid of mavir, what's mavir spiritually? Igniting your flame, igniting the candle. igniting the candle of the soul, the lamp of the soul, that it should become a big fire. So if you, mamish, build up this fire, and you're burning with a love and a longing and a desire and a craving to melt away in Hashem, we say, it's not an avoida. This is not a service of Hashem that belonged in the tabernacle. For Yushayet Sarich Le'efer, the only time it's deemed avoidas Hashem is, you know why you're lighting the fire? Because you need the ashes. You're interested in what's going to remain in the aftermath of the fire. That's what you're interested in. You're not interested in having a fire and just being burnt up a fire for the sake of fire. You're interested that the fire should have a memory. The fire should have an impact on something that remains here below. It's ashes. But these ashes are a result of the fire. That's what you need. Or you need to be warmed, or you need to be lit by the fire. But the fire itself, that's not considered service of Hashem. Why? Because the ultimate purpose was to revolutionize this world. Create a fire, but make sure there are ashes that you... That's why you're creating the fire. You're creating the fire to have ashes, which means you're interested in the impact that it's going to have on your work in this physical world. Let's finish the chapter. I remember once a Shabbos after Purim, the Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, explained this way, in this fashion, he explained the famous Gemara, Megillah Daf Zayin Amud Beis. It's one of the most difficult pieces of Gemara to understand. The Gemara says that Rava says that you have to become intoxicated on Purim until you don't know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mardukh. And then the Gemara tells a story that Rabbi and Reb Zeira joined each other to celebrate Purim and have a meal together. So the Gemara says, Ipsum, they became intoxicated through wine. They become intoxicated in the middle of the Purim meal. Zog the Gemara these words, Kam Rabbe, v'shachtel et Abzeda. Rabbe stood up, he rose up, and he slew Abzeda. He slew Abzeda. L'machar, the next day, Rabbe prayed, and he revived Abzeda. He revived him, he came back to life. The next year, Zog the Gemara, Rabbi turns to the Bzeira and says, Navit Sudas Purim Bahadi Adadi, come, let's do Purim again together. We had such a great time last year, let's party again. So Rabbi Zeira says, no. Lav b'chol shaita v'shaita misrachish nis. Miracles don't happen always. First of all, how is it possible? Rabbi, one of the greatest Jewish sages, gets drunk on Purim to the extent that he can kill a person? Kill Reb Zeira? So many commentators say it's not literal. Some people say it's totally a spiritual story. But the Rebbe said it can be because the Ran and the Baal HaMoyer saying the name of Rabbeinu Ephraim, that because of this, the reason the Gemara brings this story is to disvalidate what Rava said, that you have to become intoxicated on Purim. If it just happened in the spiritual worlds, why would it disvalidate what Rava said? Some Sefer says that Rabbi had a special tendency, but it still doesn't justify. He was born in a certain moment that's connected to Mazel Maidim, the Mazel of blood. Still, how does Rabbi should kill another person? So other people say it doesn't mean he killed him. Rather, he really harmed him. He squeezed him. He got him ill. Still, it's difficult to understand. But the real question is, tomorrow he asked compassion. Imagine somebody gets drunk and he kills somebody. That wasn't enough to sober up Rabbi. Tomorrow he wakes up, the man is dead. Let me try to revive him. What are you waiting till tomorrow for? What's even worse? Next year he comes to the Bzeida and he says, let's do it again. And not only that, if you would be the Bzeida, what would you say? Rabbi? First of all, I don't know if you would be speaking terms with him. Even if you would be Rabbi? Are you serious? Are you mad? The Bzeida says, on my part, I'm game. I have one problem. Miracles don't happen continuously. What's pshat in the story? The Rebbe explained it based on this chapter in Tanya. It was a meal of Purim, so there was a real likras kala. Rabbi Reb Zeira got into Purim, not only into the physical feast, but when it says they became intoxicated not only with physical wine, with spiritual wine. Nichnas yayin yotza soid. Yayin is the same numerology like soid, 70, secret. Wine brings out the deeper elements. Wine is always the symbol for dealing with the deepest levels of reality. Rabbah and Reb Zeira, Rabbah took Reb Zeira to the deepest levels of reality. V'shachtei Reb Zeira. They taka passed away. Reb Zeira taka passed away. When his soul felt real reality, he couldn't contain himself anymore. And he burst out in a flame and his life ceased. Rabbah means large. Reb Zeira means small. Rabbah's containers could contain what Reb Zeira's containers can't contain. So Reb Zeira passed away. Rabbah brought him back to life. The next year, Rabbah didn't regret it. Rabbah said, Gevaldik, we'll have the experience of Imratz Libcha all the way, the real experience of the soul, and plus, we'll have Shuv Le'echad. Reb Zeira said that would be great, but miracles don't happen always. And this is tak how the Eir HaChaim explains Nadav and Aviyu, like I discussed 2 weeks ago. And tak the Gemara brings a lot of reasons for Nadav. What was Nadav and Aviyu's sin? They died on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the day of the dedication of the tabernacle. And one of the main reasons is that they went into the Beis HaMikdash intoxicated with wine. And the Eir HaChaim says, what was it? We spoke 2 weeks ago. They kissed Hashem and they didn't take their mouth off Hashem's lips, so to speak, until they expired. And Chassidus explains that all the reasons Chazal give for Nadav and Aviyu's death really express the same point. For example, one reason, what was the sin of Nadav and Aviyu? Nobody knows clearly. It doesn't say clearly. It says they offered an offering that was undesirable. So one opinion is that they went and intoxicated. Another opinion is they went into the Holy of Holies. Another opinion is they never got married. Another opinion is they never had children. They didn't want to bring children to the world. Another opinion is, in Medrash, in Vayikir Rabba, in Parshas Shmini, in Parshas Achri, in Teres Koyinim. Another opinion is that they went in without the appropriate garments that you have to go in. So Chassidus explains it all boils down to one point. They had Ratzui without Shuv. That means that's why they didn't want to get married. Marriage necessitates grounding. And grounding in a world that has a lot of limitations. And that's why they didn't want the children. And that's what it means they went into the Holy of Holies and they didn't have garments. The garments of mitzvahs. The garments of physicality. They weren't interested in it. And this is considered a sin. I remember when the Rebbe explained this, he also told a story about the Majitzer Rebbe. He told a story, the old Majitzer Rebbe, I think it's the great-grandfather of the present Majitzer Rebbe. Because I remember he said then that it's the Zayde from the Heintike Majitzer, and that Majitzer passed away. So I guess it's today's Majitzer Elter Zayde. I mean, everybody knows that the Majitzer Chassidim have a very, very profound connection with music, and the music of Majitzer is otherworldly. So this old Majitzer Rebbe needed an operation. The Rebbe said, I heard the story from Polish Chassidim, from Chassidim of Poland. He needed an operation. He went to Berlin. The doctor said they can't give him the operation because he's too weak. He won't be able to bear the pain. They were fearful to give him anesthesia, and his body won't be able to bear the pain, so they can't perform the surgery. So the Majitzer Rebbe said he'll compose a song, he told the doctors, and he'll sing it. And when they see that he is totally indulged and submerged in the song, they could perform the surgery. And the Rebbe said that's what happened. He composed a song, and he started to sing, and he went into the song with his whole soul, and they performed the surgery, and he didn't feel a drop of pain. And he recovered. I think last night in Majlis they sing, this time they sing the Niggun. It's the Eskira. It's called the Eskira. Eskira Niggun, and it has 72 stanzas. And actually last night, Mitzvah Shabbos Vayishlach, they sing the Niggun. The yard site. It's the yard site of the Majlis Rebbe. Yud Zayin, Tezayin. Tezayin Kislev. Yud Zayin Kislev. So they sing, like last night, they sing the Eskin. The Rebbe was bringing out that a Jew in our generation, so to speak, not just Nadav and Aviyu or and so on, you know, these types of people, although a holy Jew in our generation, experiences such an experience where he doesn't feel any more the sensations of his body. Similar to Klois HaNefesh, not completely, but it's similar to Klois HaNefesh. That's what the song did to him. He also said the story that I told you 2 weeks ago in the same talk, the story with Alter Rebbe and Avraham HaMalach. Once they saw Rebbe, Avraham HaMalach was learning with Alter Rebbe, and after the learning, people see Alter Rebbe sitting and he's eating a bagel with butter, a bagel mit putter. So the story, as the Rebbe told it then, was Rebbe Avraham HaMalach turns to the Alter Rebbe and he says, "This is what you do after you're learning? And a bagel is not enough. Not only a bagel can be a regular bulk, it has to be a bit. Not only a bagel with fatty butter. I mean, it's a very, very physical food, if you know what I mean. This is what you do after the class." So the Alter Rebbe told him, "After our learning, I felt that I'm going to expire. My soul will not stay here, and I had to have not only a bagel, but a bagel with the fattiness of physicality to keep me down." So the Rebbe asked, "What about Rebbe Avraham HaMalach? Why didn't he need a bagel with butter?" He said, "Because Rebbe Avraham was a malach. He was like Rabbe. It didn't do it to him. But the Alter Rebbe's mission in the world was l'mevei echad be'echad shuv le'echad, to bring the Ratz Libcha back into echad. He needs the bagel with butter." Similar to the Bezeda. Okay, we have a few lines, so let's finish. Obezeyuvon. With this, we will understand Maimer Azal, the saying of our sages, Al Korchach Atachayv, Al Korchach V'chuli. Again, the statement at the end of the fourth chapter of Pirkei Avos, despite yourself, you must live, and Val Korchach Atameis, despite yourself, you must die. Frekt Alter Rebbe, Vela Eichir Etzayne, what then should one's desire be? If you tell him, in spite of your will, you must live. In spite of your will, you must die. What should he want? There's apparently a contradiction here. If balkarcha chatechai, which means, if you're living in spite of your will, because you're not interested in life, and in spite of what you want, you're living, so then, passing away is not against your will, because life is against your will. On the other end, if we say bal karcha chatemes, you will pass away despite yourself, against your will, so it's not bal karcha chatechai. You don't have to be coerced to live. You want to live. You don't want to die. So the classical commentators, Rashi, the Bar Chanura, all explain. It's two separate things. Bal karcha chatemes means whether you like it or not, when your time comes, your time comes. When my time comes, my time comes. Bal karcha chatemes, people don't choose when to die. What's bal karcha chatechai? People don't want to live. People want to live. We live in spite of our will. Everybody craves life, most people. So Rashi in the Bar Tanura explained, it's talking about a person who nebuch has a lot of misery and woe in his or her life, and they really crave to die, and they hope that when they go to sleep, they won't wake up the next morning. So the Mishnah says, bal karcha chatechai, if Hashem wants you should live, you'll live despite yourself. But the Alter Rebbe apparently sees both statements as composing one theme, and the question is, they're contradictory, they're not composing one theme. But the Alter Rebbe says, according to this chapter, we'll understand perfect what the Mishnah is saying. And it's unbelievable what Alter Rebbe, I mean, it's very special that Alter Rebbe sees it. First thing, Bal Karcha Chatechai, which means the Jew is asked and called upon to reach a consciousness where he should live despite his will. Which means his will is to go beyond life. His will is to be absorbed in the life of life, in Hashem's life, not his own life. Nonetheless, bal karchachatechai, despite your will, you understand that you have to return to your body. Despite your personal will, Hashem wants you to live. But, however, if that's going to be the situation, your work in this world is going to lack enthusiasm. Because really, you don't want to be here. You're being here because Hashem wants, you're here because Hashem wants you to be here, but you're not really excited about being here. Hashem wants you should become excited from Hashem's plan. And therefore, you have to develop within yourself a will to live, because that's what Hashem wants. So now you want to live, you want to live, and bal karchecha tameis. In spite of yourself, you die. What's that? If you totally become excited now with being in the world, if you stop feeling the tension of the world, if you become too much comfortable with the world, you can't transform it. So now we want that despite your discovered enthusiasm in the world, you should once again experience the frustration with life and again develop the bal karchecha techai, that I don't want to be here and the only reason I'm here is because of Hashem's purpose. So a Jew is like the ambassador who's sent to a foreign country to make a revolution. The moment the ambassador starts feeling comfortable in that foreign country, the moment he stops yearning to come back home, his mission is endangered. But if he only yearns to go back home, he can't accomplish the mission because he remains detached. So this is what Alter Rebbe says. You begin with bal karchecha techai, but then you have to discover an enthusiasm in life, and therefore, bal karchecha tameis, you don't want to die. You want to live. So why do we say bal karchecha techai? Because you have to, again, evoke a frustration with life, and you don't want to live, and you're forced to live, and then again discover an enthusiasm. Which means, if I just discover an excitement in life, and I don't experience the frustration, my life can lose its nobility, its godliness. Only when I'm frustrated, when I feel that I don't belong here, then when I come back here, my being here has meaning despite my flaws. When you have the ability to dismiss your existence, so then when you do exist, your existence takes on another form. Generally in life, we see that whenever you're connected to something and you can't separate yourself from it, usually the connection is not too healthy. A relationship between two people, if you have to choke the other person 24 hours a day, it's not a relationship, it's codependence. And you're not going to use the person for what you should be using them. If you're connected to your job and you can't separate from it, it's an unhealthy situation. So if the shuv doesn't have the ratzui, if you become totally excited with the world, what happens is you get swallowed up by it. It takes you over instead of you taking it over. You get stuck in it. So you always have to be able to look at it from above and to dismiss your existence and to realize that you don't really belong here. But you have to be here. And then you develop an enthusiasm in that also. And then the shuv is not altruistic anymore. It's idealistic. And this is the relationship that Alter Rebbe advocates. Not a narcissistic relationship to life. Not a selfish relationship. But really a selfless relationship. So it's mamish like being like the ashes. You create a fire to produce ashes. What are ashes? Ashes remain here below, but what are they? They're durchgebrennt, this was the Rebbe's terminology, they're durchgebrennt with the fire. They're here below, but they're impacted with the Ratzi. And the Rebbe concludes the last few lines. U'kemashin is ba'yir b'mokim acher. Commission is by your bemakamacher by Riches al Mishne Zual Karchachatachai, as it is explained elsewhere at length in reference to this Mishnah, that despite your will you must die, Be'ezras Chayi Hachayim Baruchu, with the help of the life of life, blessed be he. What does he mean? Not only that the explanation is with the help of Hashem, But that the Baal Karche Chatechai is with the help of Hashem. And here is what you said. When you come to real Klois HaNefesh, how do you really come back? Be'ezras Chaya Chayim Baruch Hu. That's why he says it on the Baal Karche Chatechai. The ability to return to life despite your consciousness, your transcendental consciousness, is with the help of Hashem. And the help of Hashem also includes the attitude of the person. Chassidus explains this at length. Alter Rebbe explains it in other places in Torah, which he's referring to here, Torah Vayishlach, told us other places. We know the story of the Masechta Chagiga Daf Yudalit. Arba Nichnasu L'Pardes. Four people entered into the orchard. Rabbi Akiva, Elisha ben Avuya, Ben Azai ben Zayma, right? Ben Azai died. Ben Zayma Hitzitz v'nivga, it affected his sanity. Elisha ben Avuya, acher kitzitz b'netiyas, he chopped the saplings, which means literally he became an apostate. He perverted the garden. He perverted the garden. He chopped off the saplings, the produce. Rabbi Akiva, Allah b'shalom v'yarad b'shalom, or the version in Ein Yaakov, nichnas b'shalom v'yatz b'shalom. He entered in peace and he left in peace. The only one. So Chassidus asks the question, they all entered in peace. The difference was not how they entered, the difference was how they left. They all went in cool, they all went in fine. No. Zakt Chassidus, no. You know where Rabbi Akiva left in peace? Because he went in b'shalom. Which means as follows. You know when you can have shuv le'echad? If your ratzai originally is coming not just to satisfy your desire for transcendence, but it's rather to fulfill the vast eternal plan of Hashem. Rabbi Akiva went in with Kabbalah soil, so he was Yatzeh B'Shalom. There's going in and there's going in. There's going into the highest levels because you want to be there. You want the spiritual high. You want the spiritual intoxication. Even if you ultimately reach the highest levels, and then you can get stuck there. Rabbi Akiva went into the Ratzi because he knew that it's part of Hashem's desire from him to fulfill his purpose in the world. You have to not get stuck in this world. You have to become frustrated with this world. Because if you love the world too much, you can't change it. The world will change you. You have to despise the world, and then you can embrace the world with love. One of the students of the Baal Shem Tov on his deathbed looked out of the window and he said, Welt, o Welt, world, o world, how beautiful you are for those who don't believe in you. How problematic and horrible you are for those who believe in you. I want to conclude with one idea to drive it home a little bit. I don't know if anybody around this table ever had this experience of Imratz Lipcha as the Alter Rebbe describes it. I have not. Not even close. So those who have relate to this chapter directly. But I'd like to glean one insight at least from the Alter Rebbe's composition here. The story of humanity is a story of frustration. The story of every one of us, on one level or another, is a tale of frustration. What is the frustration? There's a lot of frustration. But beyond everything, I think if we strip it from all the layers, we come to one essential point, if not the most essential, but one of the essential points, and that's as follows. If and when you crave genuine spirituality and idealism, you're frustrated from all of the problems that the material world presents. Even on the most simple level, the need to pay your bills, the need to go to work, the need to deal with all of the mishagasin and problems and pressures and stress and anxiety and burden of making a living, of relationships, of family life, of your own psychological fears and insecurities. If you experience spirituality, if and when you crave it, you get frustrated by the need, the demands to live in the real world and to make ends meet and to be able to survive. On the other hand, if you love the world, you like physicality and you like materialism, this is your life. And you're totally involved in it, you're totally submerged in it. You're frustrated by something else. What are you frustrated? Your transcendental consciousness. You're yearning, you're not totally happy. There's the fuse in you that wants something else. So it's like, in no world can you have peace. If you follow that fuse and you enter into the oasis of transcendence, you're slept down and you're rudely awakened from your spiritual high and intoxication. If you ignore it and you deny it and you just totally make a life for yourself in this world, you're still frustrated by your higher drives and yearnings that nag on you. You know, if you get rid of Hashem, you get rid of godliness, which many a people do, there is that melancholy, the inner void that develops after many years. So it's like, as they say, the old expression, you know, I can't live with this person, I can't live without this person. You can't live with Hashem, you can't live without Him. Like, if you live with Him, it's like just too much. There's a whole other side that's pulling you back. First of all, your animalistic soul, your physical demands, your pressures, your tension, your bodily impulses. If you live without Hashem, so He's pulling you. So this is the frustration I think that everybody relates to on one level or another. And this is one of the deepest problems in all of religious philosophy and all of religious experience. So some modern psychiatrists were brilliant and they say, listen, get rid of God. There's no such a thing. Embrace your own life. Others say, get rid of life. And others remain torn between the two tendencies. And I think here lay one of the greatest revolutions of the Alter Rebbe in this chapter. You know what the Alter Rebbe says? The Alter Rebbe says one thing. Stop looking at it from your perspective. Stop scrutinizing your problems, your anxiety, and your frustrations, and your contrasting drives from your viewpoint. Start viewing your life from Hashem's viewpoint. And from Hashem's viewpoint, Bal Karcha Chatechai and Bal Karcha Chatameis. Despite your will, you live here, which means you don't want to be here, and you still have to be here. And on the other hand, despite your will, you have to transcend this place. Despite your will not to transcend. Which means Hashem's plan for you was that the world should frustrate you. The world needs to frustrate you. The physicality of the world can't be the most exciting thing because that moment the mission ceases. You have to feel sometimes, what am I doing here? I don't want to be here. And why am I here? Because Hashem wants me to be here. On the other hand, the yearning to spirituality also has to frustrate you. Why do I have to deny myself? Why am I abnegating myself? I want to be here. So that you're really connected to the world. You yearn to be home, and you're excited about not being home, and you yearn to be home, and therefore you're frustrated with not being home. But then you're excited about not being home, and so on and so forth. Zogdal Terebbe, this paradox is inherent, and since it's inherent, embrace it. Start viewing your days and your nights from Hashem's perspective. Stop serving yourself. Am I spiritual? Am I physical? Am I heaven? Am I earth? Do I want Ratzi? Do I want Shuv? Start serving Hashem and satisfy your complete, fulfill your mission as part of His eternal plan. And this is how the Alter Rebbe deals with the ultimate paradox of life. Bal Karcha Chatechai and Bal Karcha Chatameis, and both are true. Because that's exactly what Hashem's plan was for you. So if I'm caught up in my own experience, what I need and where I am and what I'm not and why is it and why is it so hard, There was a chassid that came into the Alter Rebbe once. Shushpat. Bal Karchich, I have to stop, and Bal Karchich, I have to begin. I wasn't in the mood to begin, so there was a chassid who came into the Alter Rebbe. He was a big scholar. He was a very wealthy man, and he was a special person. He was a pious Jew. He had a lot of money, and he gave a lot of charity, and he also had a lot of investments. And one day, he lost all of his fortune, and he came into the Alter Rebbe weeping. And you know what he was crying about? He said, "I'm not crying, Rebbe, about the fact that Hashem took away my money. If he wants me to be poor, fine. You know what I'm crying about? Why did he have to do it in a way that I should remain indebted thousands of ruble to people, and that way desecrate my name and desecrate my religious name and my piousness and therefore Hashem's name?" So you can appreciate the sensitivity of this person. And you know what Alter Rebbe told him? As he was crying and crying, Alter Rebbe had his head in both of his hands, in both of his palms. And he was in a meditative state, in a dveka state. And when the chassid finished, Alter Rebbe remained enveloped in deep thought, and then he lifted his head, and he said in his Yiddish melody, this is what he said: "Du retzt als wegen was du darfst, und du sagst gar nicht wegen was me darf dir. You speak everything about what you need. You say nothing about what you're needed for." And he fainted. He was a real chassid, he fainted. They revived him. He spent a few weeks with Alter Rebbe. Alter Rebbe gave him a whole system of what to do during those few weeks. And then Alter Rebbe called him in and he blessed him with lots of success. He went home and he happened to regain his wealth. And things worked out. What was Alter Rebbe addressing? He wasn't addressing only animalistic tension. He was addressing spiritual tension. But the Alter Rebbe changed, he transformed. The Alter Rebbe with those words transformed his life. How did he transform his life? Stop thinking about it from your perspective. We always think about it from my perspective. What do I need? Why am I feeling like this and feeling like this? Why am I torn? Why am I sometimes in heaven and sometimes in muck, in purgatory? Who am I? Am I spiritual? Am I physical? Am I an animal? Am I a human being? Am I godly? Am I beastly? Am I selfish? Am I selflessness? Lemevi echad be'echad. Think about what you're needed for, not what you need, not your position. Where am I in this whole experience? Think what Hashem needs you for, and what He needs you for is to have ratzui and balkar chatechai, and then to have shuv and therefore balkar chatemes. So to sum it up, the Alter Rebbe is telling us, stop telling God how great your problems are. Start telling your problems how great God is. Just complete with a maisa. Since Tuesday is Yutas Kislev, this is Be'ezras Chayi HaChayim Baruch Hu, the last words. And only in this shift of perspective can Ratzi and Shuv begin to coexist. And this is what Rabbi Akiva knew. And therefore he merged in peace. And this is the essence of what defines the Jewish experience, the Jewish spiritual experience from Alter Rebbe's perspective. And this changed the Chassid's life. Because he wasn't thinking about it from that point of view. You're needed for this. You're needed for this tension. You're needed for this paradox. If I don't have you for this paradox, so how can we solve the ultimate paradox? And that is that the oneness of an infinite Hashem should be exposed in a fragmented egocentric world, which is the ultimate paradox. If you're not ready to embrace your paradox, how will the ultimate purpose, which is a paradox, be achieved? And this is the profound and paradoxical system that the Alter Rebbe introduces here. So this Tuesday is Yitzchak Kislev, the day that the Alter Rebbe was liberated from more than 7 weeks of imprisonment, 53 days of imprisonment, some Chzedek said, corresponding to the 53 chapters of Tanya. For every chapter of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe had to sit a day in prison. And everybody knows that the last 13 days in prison were the worst, because they interrogated him on the deepest issues concerning the most nuanced elements of Kabbalah and Chassidus, and it was very difficult for him to explain to people who many of them were gross and crude these concepts. So the Rebbes, the Tzemach Tzedek said, the previous Rebbe brings this, that the last 13 chapters of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe tries to share with a Jew the experience of Vos Got is. What does it mean? What Hashem is? And for these chapters, he paid the price from chapter 41, Reishis Avodah Ikra V'Sharshal, till the end, chapter 53, which is 13 chapters. Last 13 days of prison. So on the 19th of Kislev, the Alter Rebbe was liberated in 1798, and it mamish coincides with this year, because then it was also on a Tuesday. And since then, it's celebrated by Jews the world over, Yutis Kislev as Chag HaGeula, and among Chabad, it's even known as Rosh Hashanah L'Chassidus, it's Rosh Hashanah for Chassidus. So when the Alter Rebbe was in prison, one of the ministers that interrogated him was a non-Jewish philosopher who was extremely well-versed, not only in Tanakh, but in all of Jewish studies. So one day he walks into the Alter Rebbe, and he says, Rebbe, I want to ask you a question. What is the meaning of Hashem's words to Adam HaRishon in Parshas Bereishis, Perek Gimel, Vayikra Hashem Elokim El Adam Vayemer Ayeka? Hashem called out to Adam, and he said, Ayeka, where are you? After him eating of the tree of knowledge. Ayeka, where are you? So Yatzta Alter Rebbe, Hashem did not know where Adam HaRishon was. So the Alter Rebbe told him what Rashi says, the classical answer. Hashem knew where Adam was, but it was just a conversation opener, not to intimidate Adam HaRishon. So he says, where are you? Just to open the conversation and not immediately accuse him of eating from the tree. So the minister turns to the Alter Rebbe and he says, what Rashi says, I know on my own. I want to hear what you have to say. So the Alter Rebbe asked him if he believes that the Torah is eternally relevant to every person, the Bible. So he said yes. He was a Christian, a member of the Tsar's government. They belonged to the Greek Orthodox type of Christianity. He said, I believe, of course, I believe in the Bible, and I believe it's eternal and relevant. So the Alter Rebbe said, the Alter Rebbe was excited, because that was one of the chief things that he wanted to present to them as the main teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, that every story in Torah is relevant to our life, and that means that every story has to be explained in the life of the soul. So when he heard that this minister embraces this concept, he was excited. But then the Alter Rebbe said, if you believe that, I'll tell you what Hashem meant. Hashem was not only calling out to Adam HaRishon, Hashem at every moment is calling out to every child of Adam HaRishon, and he asks him the question, Ayeka, where are you? Where are you? You have been given a soul, you have lived a certain amount of years, you have been given power, talents, gifts, resources, blessings, you have been given the blessing of life. Where are you in your life? Are you maximizing your potentials? Are you living a real life? Are you challenging the evil within you? Are you fulfilling the mission for which you were created? Or you're just slacking away, and with laziness and fear, you're not living up to who you are, to your soul. And the Alter Rebbe said, if we can listen well, we'll hear Hashem constantly asking us, Ayeka, Vu bistu av de welt? Where are you in this world? And then the Alter Rebbe said, for example, if a person has lived these and these amount of years, and he said the exact age of the minister. So Hashem turns to him and says, you have lived these and these amount of years, let's say 54 years or 42 years or 30 years. What have you done with these years? What have you attained? Where do you stand? The minister was blown away. I mean, he loved it. And he was instrumental in helping and assisting the liberation of the Alter Rebbe, which was miraculous because initially they planned to give him the death penalty because they informed upon him that he's helping the hostile Turkish government in a revolt against the Tsar. I mean, it was horrific, horrific accusations of the highest criminal activity, of the highest criminal nature. But I want to bring out that after he was liberated, the Alter Rebbe told Chassidim that the minister coming in right then and asking him the question saved his life. Why did it save his life? He said that right then in the dungeon, he was reflecting, in his chamber in prison, he was reflecting on the great merit that he had to sacrifice his life for the Baal Shem Tov and for the Maggid of Mizrich, to spread their teachings and to bring in the godliness that they introduced into the world, and to ignite hundreds of thousands of souls with the flame of the Baal Shem Tov. The Alter Rebbe said, I was so excited, I was so overwhelmed, that at that moment, my soul was at the verge, at the threshold of expiring. He says, the joy was so overwhelming, I just wanted to expire in the all-pervading truth of godliness, and that would be the end. The minister came in and asked me the question, and I told him Ayeka. So he said, at that moment, I heard the Ayeka that's directed to me. Ayeka, where are you on the Alter Rebbe? Are you fulfilling the mission for which you were created? And he said, and the call of Ayeka, the Baal Karchecha Techai, where are you? Are you doing what you want, or are you doing what you were called to do? He said, that brought me back. The Alter Rebbe said, the minister coming in at that moment saved his life from an experience that happened to Reb Michal Zlotsheva, to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Nadav and Aviyu, to Reb Zeira, to Ben Azai. Could have happened to the Alter Rebbe also. Okay, I want to suggest, I don't know if all of you are familiar with this, since we're holding at chapter 50 already, so I haven't said this yet, but I'll do it now, that in the back of the Tanya, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe divided the Tanya from Yutus Kislev to Yutus Kislev. That you could study a little piece every day, and in 1 year you finish the whole Tanya. It starts Yutus Kislev, which is Tuesday, and it ends next Yutus Kislev. So I would strongly recommend to undertake on yourself to do it, because you'll see that the impact it can have on your life is tremendous. It can give every day profound focus and direction, and you have an opportunity also to review all the chapters, although you can't do it with great depth because it's a daily endeavor, but you can cover the Tanya. So in the meantime, have a good night, a wonderful week, and by Chassidim, they wish for you to skislev gut yamtev, l'shana teiva b'limud ha-chassidus u'b'darkei ha-chassidus tikaseivu v'sichasem. Probably they'll be not with me.
It's interesting because I find I find it corresponding to interesting thing here.
Yeah, go ahead.
It didn't quite fit why the Alter Rebbe throws in this upgrade when he's just about to say the show. It's just about to really make the point. So what is he? What worse than that? That disclaimer.
Yeah. No.
That's the Nefes B'Shal.
You mean the Zirus Chet? I see.
That was a component in the Ratzon.
I see. In other words, you're saying the reason he adds Zirus Chet is because when the Zirus Chet, your Ratzon will produce a Shuv. Mashiach, there's no Yerush Chet, you won't get to the Shuv. You'll get stuck in the Ratzah. That's good. Mishma. It's a heavy paydik, this. Oh, I'm sorry, Russian Orthodox. Sorry, Russian Orthodox.
Yeah. The bagel and the but still comes back to something I kept mentioning also times, the conflict there between Iris and Caleb. And so when you see the Mile is versus Caleb.
No.
By Rezeri, you didn't say, but when you came to the bagel and the
butter, the Avram, his avodah was not to come back into the world. No, it is what it is. It's not a mile. It's not. The Avram's avodah was not the Alter Rebbe's avodah. His avodah was not chachma bina das to impact the world.
So it doesn't correspond with small Caleb.
No.
And when you said just like Rezeri.
Oh, wrong. I stand corrected.
It's not the same concept.
Yeah, it's not because the Alter Rebbe had small Caleb. It's because his avodah was to bring it into Caleb.
Back to the whole relativistic game, that right. Someone is
right. 100%
becomes this fall because he's super.
I stand corrected. I stand corrected. It's not that Alter Rebbe is like the Poseidon.
That was part of the mission.
It was part of his mission to bring it back. And if you want to bring it back, you have to have a bagel with putter because it's too difficult to bring it back.
It was like Ben Azai.
Not just by disconnecting.
Ben Aviyu was like Ben Azai. They also didn't want Dira Petach Toynim.
It says Ben Azai didn't get married.
Right, didn't get married. Same that's thing. Why he was leaving. He didn't want Dira Petach Toynim. That's Pshat that he's.
Yeah. Nafshi Chashka B'Toyre.
Maybe that's Pshat Rabbi Kiva before Nafshecha. Tzamin, both sides tzamin. When you find, usually it's in either Ratzui Veshuv, but now that he had to do it.
Read Achere Chelik Gemul the whole thing.
They had to do both parts.
Rabbi Kiva also. The Gemara says. The Gemara says Rabbi Kiva craved Masa Yavali Yadiva Kaimenu. Yeah, he also wanted Mysterious Nefesh. But the wording is Masa Yavali Yadi. I'm not going to do it on my own. When will Hashem call me on the mission, Vakaymena, but not on my own. On my own, I'm going to stay here. Masayave li yadi Vakaymena, the Gemara Brachos.
That's what I meant by the Moshe. That's what I meant by the Moshe. Well, we say,
come back to finding Echad in this world.
That's when the divine intervention made it happen.
We're here, the point is, we're here not because we want to be here. We're here because we're called upon to be here. And therefore, when we're called upon to transcend here, it's not because we want to go away, because we're called upon to go away. We're called upon to be frustrated, and we're called upon to be comfortable. And therefore, when the moment calls for transcending, you transcend. And when the moment calls for returning, you return. It's not narcissistic. Self-oriented.
Subtle or...
Yeah.
Parallel here in the two of the chulas.
Kala.
Right.
I hear. Mace. I hear.
Okay.
He didn't mind. It's finished murder. It was close on that fish. He didn't mind. Why did he offer it next year? He didn't mind. So bring him back tomorrow. What's the rush?
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.